This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. It is the Dopey Millennial Show. Caleb Johnson here with you on this Saturday, starting hour number two of the show, going until 7 o'clock. It's rivalry weekend. So you've got the middle of, Tennessee and Vandy going on right now. It's still weird to see Vandy ranked higher than Tennessee at this point in the season, but number 14 Vandy is going to have to come from down 21-14 right now. The Volunteers lead the Commodores, and then Oregon and Washington. Yeah, it's the Ducks kind of got that one a little bit easily so far, 13-0. We'll talk more rivalry games later on in the show, but I want to continue some Hawks conversation that we've had early on about this team and what version they really are right now. Are they the team who can pull off a really solid late win over the Cavaliers last night, or are they more of the team that didn't show up on Wednesday against the Washington Wizards? And to have that conversation with me is Glenn Willis. He's one of the co-hosts of ATL and 29 podcast, a great listen that he and Kevin Chouinard do a great job with. Glenn, how you doing on this Saturday, man?
I'm good. Another rainy day in Seattle. It's that time of year where it never stops.
Well, you know, it's not been so, super exciting here in the Atlanta area as we are dealing, obviously, with some colder temperatures. Not as bad as what we saw today up at the Big House with Michigan and Ohio State, but a little gloomy nonetheless. A team that wasn't gloomy last night was the Hawks, as they were able to get a good win over the Cavs, 130-123. It's obviously the return of DeAndre Hunter in this one, coming back to State Farm Arena, playing against his former team, and man, Mo Gay certainly, you know, made him feel quite welcome. What did you like out of this game, Glenn, versus, you know, clearly what we saw on Wednesday, which was a very, very ugly loss against the Wizards?
Yeah, they just looked like a team that needed a few days off, and they were better for having those few days off. The travel schedule has been brutal up to this point in the season, and from that standpoint, I think it's impressive how many games they've won with really never playing in the same city back-to-back games, like for almost any stretch of that first part of the season. So I think that rest was good. The Washington game was about as ugly as it gets. Probably will be their ugliest loss in the season, I would hope, because that was really bad. But again, 2 days off at home can do a lot to kind of just help you get your body right, and I think that serves them well to help them play 48 solid minutes against the Cavs and get that win.
Yeah, you mentioned the travel aspect of things. I had taken a look in the Hawks will play in the month of November 15 games in 30 days with only, I believe it was three of those days actually getting some sort of rest and not having to travel in some form or fashion. I mean, it's so bizarre to have a season in which I keep waiting for a homestand of like, oh, okay, you know, when are I going to see my friends at State Farm Arena, you know, all the people who cover the Hawks for more than just a game, and then, see you in a week. As they come back through the city. And obviously Quinn Snyder has spoken about that recently, the fact that, you know, the team haven't really been able to unpack their suitcase. And yet throughout this, Glenn, they've been able to step up and go, 7-3, I believe, in their last 10 games. And this playing, you know, significant time without Trae Young. What have you seen from this team as they've played without their star leader?
Yeah, a couple of things. One is Nikhil Alexander Walker's been an absolute revelation this season and is stepping up and embracing an opportunity like he's never had in his career. And I put right next to that, probably even a little ahead of that, what Jalen Johnson is doing with an expanded offensive role and having so much offense run through him. Feels like he's getting a triple-double every other game. He's, you know, his assist totals are up there every night, doing a great job. I think, you know, opposing defenses are going to continue to throw more and more complexity at him. But I know that the coaching staff will help him kind of work through what did you see in this game that's different from last game. Because this is, for me, in my view, the greatest amount of offensive responsibility Jalen's had at any point in his career. And for me, you know, that Washington game was a one-off in terms of he didn't have the normal level of production we've seen him so consistently have in all, you know, across the stretch of games. But it's just, for me, it's very impressive to see him take a step up, a much bigger, broader offensive role, a lot more offensive responsibility, and for him to work through really seeing things for the first time in his career in this kind of role is just really impressive to me.
Now, Glenn, I think one thing about this team that I guess has confused me is coming into the season, you know, there's a lot of conversation about how young they are, and certainly third youngest team in the NBA. However, size-wise, they are one of, if not the tallest teams, just across, like, average height across their team, and that's with having Trae Young in that mix. Yet, rebounding has been such a major factor for them, they haven't been able to capitalize on. What have you seen that's caused this team to just not be a good rebounding team?
Yeah, so I think part of that is that Quinn wants them to play fast, and to play fast, he will swing towards really three-guard lineups a lot. And NBA coaches have trade-offs to make, you know, and that's one trade-off he seems to be pretty consistently willing to make, is to get a third ball handler on the floor. Everyone's talked about the Luke Keaton lineup and all those sorts of things. But he wants them to turn defense into offense, play fast, you know, attack early in the shot clock, attack transition defense. That's where he wants them to find a lot of their offensive productivity. But the trade-off there is that you don't have the biggest lineup on the floor at, you know, 3 through 5 all the time. And you are so I know, you know, if you listen to Quinn talk, I know you're there a post game every home game, and he'll say all five guys have to rebound. And that's something mm-hmm. they have to continue to commit toward is, okay, even though we're playing a smaller lineup, everybody's got to be engaged and really invested in helping us rebound the basketball and in defensive possessions with a rebound. It takes all five guys. But when you listen to Quinn talk, it's like we want to play fast, we want to be aggressive, we want to attack. So he values the third ball handler on the floor. And again, the trade-off, I think, comes on the other end and the rebounding sometimes. But I think he would challenge his team to work as a unit of five people to rebound the basketball on that end.
Is there a way of, like, this team, especially with their bigs, just taking better routes to the ball? Because, you know, I don't know. I think sometimes of, like, that Dennis Rodman clip of, you know, him talking about rebounding and how he worked on that skill just so much. And with this team, given the idea of, okay, you want all five guys to be a part of that, it feels a bit random how guys are opting to go to the ball and who decides, hey, I'm going to go leak out, and cover back on offense, specifically when they're rebounding defensively. Like, how do you find that mix of guys taking better angles and then deciding to help rebound or leak out and try to get, you know, something in transition?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's another area of trade-off. It's like if we feel like we can get 20 to 25 points in transition and we're willing to try to limit the opponent to, say, 15 second chance points, if we can be plus 10 in that exchange, then that's a winning formula, right? But if the result is that, you know, you're giving up more second chance points to your opponent than you're creating in those transition opportunities, that's something that's got to be addressed and fixed. And in that Cleveland game was the first time we saw Quinn really kind of move away from Keaton and play bigger lineups to contend with Jarrett Allen and Evan Mobley, you know, two really good offensive rebounders. So he swung towards kind of bigger lineups and actually closed for the first time in a while with Zachary Richaché. And I think that helped them be better in that phase of play. So as they continue to move forward, it's going to be interesting to see how Quinn manages these trade-offs of play fast, play with pace, sacrifice maybe some on the defensive glass, and see which way that goes. But, it's going to be a challenge if they want to continue to play fast and small to rebound the basketball defensive in the court, unless all five guys are really, 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 really working hard in that phase.
Talking with Glenn Willis on the WadeFord.com hotline. Glenn does a great job of the podcast, ATL and 29. Glenn, when people talk about Zachary Richaché, I feel like it's very easy for the idea to be thrown out of, hey, because he's the number one overall pick, he should be doing X, Y, and Z. And so when we don't see him doing these, you know, spectacular, being the front man of his team, all those sorts of things, well, he must be having a regression in his sophomore season. How are you kind of seeing Zachary's growth in this second year in the league?
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm not really concerned about him long term. I hear the same things you hear. Like, and social media is a good and bad place to kind of get all sorts of narratives around, you know, the way that fans view, is he producing the value you'd expect in year two, sophomore year, so all that sort of stuff. And for me, he's, I think, on a trajectory to be a very high-level role player. And I think, you know, what he showed last night in the fourth quarter really just jumped out at me. I thought one of the key plays in the game, you know, he knocked down that left corner three, you know, under 3 minutes to go. And then on the very next play, they were attacking and he ran straight to the rim, and that opened up a wide open three for Nikhil Alexander Walker. So you watch him play and the processing is there. Like, all the processing is there for him. But last, you know, Quinn hasn't always trusted him late in games, and last night he did. So I think he's going to be fine. I think the structure is good. I think one thing that has impacted his offensive consistency is he's fairly trade dependent. You know, he's the guy they want leaking out all the time. He has good speed to the rim, all that sort of stuff. And they kind of give him a little grace on not helping rebound the basketball when he leaks out. Trey's the best, maybe one of the best head-to-head passers in the league, and that's always served Zach well in transition. Apart from Jalen, no one else on the team really has that skill. Dyson has a little of that, you know. But without Trey, I think Zach is having to learn to kind of function offensively in a very different way. There's an adjustment there. And I would hope that he has grace with himself and Hawks fans can kind of understand that. I think he's going to be fine. I think he's going to be a really good player. I think the processing is high level. He's still very, very young, and they don't push a lot of offensive design towards him specifically. And that's okay for where he is at this point in his career.
Glenn, you mentioned that relationship on the court with Trey and Zach, and we learned today that the reevaluation period for Trey Young as he works his way back to coming and rejoining the team after that MCL injury is now 2 weeks away when they'll reevaluate things. You've got a game against the Sixers on the 14th, that Sunday, and then you've got a game against the Spurs on the Friday, the 19th, as potential games that, hey, if everything works out perfectly, it's one of those two that you would very likely see Trey return. How difficult is it going to be for Trey to enter in this team after missing, at least at that point, you know, 6 weeks worth of time?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, one, it's no secret that Trey hates missing games. He wants to play. He wants to get back as soon as he can. He wants to be there for his team competing. But for me, if this team can keep winning, right, that gives them more opportunity to just make sure Trey is really ready to go, right? And I know that, like, I can just imagine that, you know, Trey wants to play, he wants to get back as fast as possible. But if this team can't continue winning games, I think maybe they buy an extra week. That's good for him long term, in my view. I'm not a doctor, I'm not a trainer, anything like that. But I think there's a relationship between this team continuing to, you know, get wins and giving the organization and the medical staff opportunity to just give him more time to get back. And so if they can keep winning games, I think that would be great. Now, I'll do very high level. They're running the offense completely differently with him out. A lot more motion, a lot more sharing the basketball and things like that. When he comes back, it's going to be interesting to see how much they swing back towards the balance between Trey's pick and roll genius and the stuff that they're running now. That's going to be very interesting to see how he adapts to what they've been running while he's been out. But for me, I think Hawks fans probably hope, let's keep seeing this team get wins, because if we can just buy Trey one or two more weeks, then that sets us up, you know, for the rest of the season where he's stronger, not having to feel like he has to rush back, even though we all know that's his instinct.
Absolutely. Well, that is Glenn Willis. Give him a follow on social media at @Willis_Glenn. And make sure you subscribe to the podcast ATL and 29. Glenn, always appreciate you coming on, and we'll talk soon.
Appreciate you, sir.
All right. The Hawks get ready to take on the Sixers. That'll be tomorrow, 6 o'clock game in Philadelphia. We'll keep the show rolling. It's the Dopey Millennial Show, Sports Radio 99 The Game, and the Odyssey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan, equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Man, we've got a game in Rocky Top. It's been, what, I think 6 years since Vandy has taken down Tennessee? Yet Diego Pavia got the Commodores all tied up with the Volunteers 21 at halftime. Coming up in 17 minutes from now, we will get into a Falcons conversation with our 99 The Game Falcons reporter, Joe Patrick. What is this team, what is this offense going to look like against the Jets? Because I don't know, maybe I'm being too confident, but I have an idea of what the defense is able to do We saw it a week ago against a really bad football team. And this upcoming week, once again, the Falcons playing a really bad football team. However, no Drake London once again. And with Kirk Cousins at quarterback, he can win one. Can he get you another one? Very curious of what we'll see. So we'll have that conversation coming up with Joe Patrick at 5:40. However, right now, a fun segment on this show that I've brought in a new producer. We've swapped. We've got Dom Chorosky on the other side of the glass. So let's get into and ask the dopey.
How you doing, man?
I am great, man. It's look, this has been a fun week, and I said earlier when Josh was in your seat that it was a wild Friday in which I can't remember quite to the level that this Black Friday was of covering Georgia Tech, keeping up with what was literally happening across the street with the Hawks and the Cavs, going home and catching Texas A&M in Texas. And like I was like, I feel like every second I've got some. I mean, leading up into Georgia Tech, it was to see if anything was going to happen with the Egg Bowl. And so, man, I thought yesterday was a great day of college football. Obviously, today, a good slate of great rivalry games that I don't think any of them have particularly turned into like great games. And so maybe this Tennessee and Vandy game turns into that. But that is a long-winded way of saying, Dom, it's been like it's good day, good weekend, I feel like.
Very nice, very nice. Did you enjoy Thanksgiving?
I did. So Thanksgiving is a little bit weird now with my parents not living in town anymore. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so we got together, and it was like great to see everybody and get to hang out. Also, because I've talked about this a few times to some other people, like my cousins are grown up now. And so, like, my youngest cousin on my dad's side of the family that I get together with is a senior in high school. So now everyone's older, and we have started a tradition. This is the second year that we get together the Wednesday night before Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
So we can, you know, talk about our parents, talk
Absolutely.
About relatives.
Yeah, you can.
Catch up without, you know, the adults listening in on the conversations,
exactly.
Go through our trauma of growing up, you know, and that sort of thing. So it's Thanksgiving was really good this year. What about you?
It was good. I spent it with my girlfriend's family, which was very nice. Food was amazing. Had a really good time. Currently, the only negative is she got whooped by a cold. The kids. Her younger brothers were there, and they both were kind of just getting over some colds. And then her mom got sick like the day of Thanksgiving, and she woke up Friday. And
yeah, that's always fun. Of the like, someone comes to Thanksgiving and the little, achoo, you know, or little, hey, good to see you, you know, kind of thing. You're like, hey, thanks, but go wash my hands.
Yeah,
man.
Exactly. Yeah, so she's KO'd right now with all the medicine and whatnot, and I'm just trying to avoid it, just trying not to get sick. So that was the only negative, though. But outside of that, Thanksgiving was good.
Good deal. All right, what do you got for me as far as ask the dopey questions?
All righty. So first up, I want to kind of just open up the floor to a couple of names that I think will be interesting and relevant to the Falcons next year, because I know this number of 9 months has been floated around for Michael Penix Jr.
It's a very hopeful number.
Doesn't make sense to me. Even if that was the case, even if he does come back and he's cleared at 9 months, I don't want him out there. Me personally. This is a guy mm-hmm. who's had 5 season-ending injuries in the last 8 years.
Yes.
He's the last person that needs to rush back from an injury.
Well, also, Dom, I would add to this conversation, has there been anything through this season that's made you think, you know what, I want to rush the guy who's mm-hmm. been looking like that
exactly.
back?
Exactly.
I don't think so.
Exactly. So I think we are looking at a legitimate chance of having to start someone else next year other than Michael Penix Jr., and I want to throw out some names at you for what I feel like are realistic options.
Okay. I was about to say, I got one in the back of my mind, so I'm very curious to hear yours.
All right. So a couple names that I just put together just looking around. First things first, obviously, is the guy who's currently on the roster, and that is Kirk Cousins.
Yes.
How do we feel?
So here's the thing. I think we'll know how we feel in a few weeks, because once you finish out the season with this guy, then you'll have to see, is the relationship repaired enough? Or did he do enough damage? Does he feel you guys did too much damage that, I mean, sure, you know, he got paid a great deal of money, but he didn't get the opportunity. This didn't all work out how he thought it was going to. So I think the way the season finishes out is whether or not he is first option for being your starting quarterback. I know how I feel right now on Saturday, November 29th. I don't want Kirk Cousins as the Atlanta Falcons starting quarterback week one of next year's season. And I get why a lot of people would disagree with that and think, you know, better the guy that you know versus going and trying something new. There's plenty of reasons, because it's also like, who is the head coach next season? Like, is it Raheem? Is there a change there? Is Zach Robinson the offensive coordinator? Is there a change there? All of those things. Like, there are so many factors. But right now, for me, Kirk Cousins is number two. My list of quarterbacks. But continue, because I'm curious to hear some names.
All right, so we'll keep it with some of the more realistic options right now. We'll get some more the more crazy ones a little further down. But next up on the list is one that I think is an interesting name. It probably would be number one on my list, and that is Mac Jones.
Okay. Mac is a very, very interesting name. I think the thing with him is, like, what you saw in Jacksonville was like, hey, maybe the New England years really were because you had a defensive coordinator calling plays and that team was a disaster, mm-hmm. and Bill Belichick was, you know, essentially trying to walk away and all of those sorts of things. And big factor with Mac, you would have to imagine relatively inexpensive.
Yeah.
Relatively inexpensive.
Because he only has 1 year left on his deal.
Yes.
He's getting paid, I would have to assume, less than $15 million or something like that. So you could probably, that's a move where you would probably have to trade for him. But realistically, I think you can give up a sixth and that gets it done.
Well, I was just about to say, I mean, it's not like, it's not like Terry is not used to giving up draft capital in order to get an asset that he wants.
Exactly.
So I would have to think, you know, he'd be willing to do that. I'm curious to see if the number is up. Oh, nope, they don't have it listed. All right. I was going to look to see what Mac Jones is making this year.
His actual number?
Yeah, because I have to imagine, like, that's okay. He signed a 2-year, $8.5 million contract.
Oh, yeah. So he's pennies on the dollar. You can get him for nothing, right? So I like that idea. Next on the list, another guy kind of in a similar situation, but maybe is a little less proven, and that's Malik Willis.
Ooh. As your starting quarterback.
In a year where maybe you have to hold it down for 5 weeks.
Yeah.
Listen, Malik has looked very good when he's had to play in place of Jordan Love in Green Bay.
Yeah, but I feel like, and maybe like this is a problem for me, is like I just see him as career backup quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so the idea of, hey, we're going to trust you with the responsibility of a fan base that even if everyone should be aware that, yeah, this isn't going to be a particularly great year, that, you know, you...
He's also from College Park.
That's true. That's true.
Hometown kid. You get a little love there.
I feel like I give him a knock because he went to Liberty. Like, that's... I feel like that's part of it, too, in the back of my mind. Is I was like, why did you choose that route to go with your college career? But, hey, you know, everyone does their own thing. And I don't... Yeah. I so... not a terrible, he's just, he reminds me of someone who, like, for 2 to 3 weeks, you'd be like, all right, he can hold you together. And then by week four, you're on the, like, Ryan Fitzpatrick route of, mm-hmm. like, oh, this thing mm-hmm. got off, you know.
Well, I mean, if by week five, Penix is back.
True.
Then true. He kind of fits.
Yes.
I don't know. I think that's another fun option alongside Mac Jones. That's also realistic. Let's get to some of the less realistic ones, but just like in a crazy world, we don't have a ton of time, so I'll jump to the big crazy name, Kyler Murray.
Yeah, he's my number one.
He's your number one?
He is my number
okay,
one.
Okay, let's talk about it.
Well, because here's the thing. His style of play, I think, would work so well.
Be fun.
Be fun. Like in a world where Zach Robinson is no longer calling plays, and this offense is allowed to be free with Bijan, with a healthy Drake London. It would also have to include, though, if we're being, you know, totally honest about things, a healthy Kyler Murray. And so, like, why is that scenario never going to happen, even if the way that he plays football excites me, is just for the simple fact of, like, I don't know that this organization can go after another injured quarterback.
I was
going
to say, also, what would you be comfortable giving up to get him?
That's it.
That's
too.
Also the question, too.
Like, well, but are the Cardinals not going to cut him? Like, are we not in a position where who's trading for Kyler Murray versus, you know, do they eat the money, cut him?
They don't. I mean, he's signed. They don't have a potential out until 2028. So,
oh, is it really? It's that far.
They're on the hook for at least the next 2 years.
Okay.
And cutting him, he has a cap hit currently. This year, it's $43 million. Next year, it'd be $53 million, and then in 2027, it'd be $43.5 million.
Yeah. Okay. So that's, I guess, a mistake on my part. I was thinking the option would be available that you sign him after.
Cut.
Yeah, after he'd been cut. But if Arizona doesn't go that route.
Okay, so I'm looking here, and it does say that in 2027, the dead cap, it looks like if you cut him, would just be $7.2 million. But if you do it in 2026, which would be next year, it's $57.7 million. So off the $58 million in dead cap if you cut him.
Yeah, I mean, poor Arizona. Like, they're in a terrible position because I don't think they want Kyler Murray coming back. They have stuck with Jacoby Brissett because he was kind of winning there for a second, but you always knew. I think I kind of look at Malik Willis like a Jacoby Brissett, where, like, for a couple of weeks, he'll hold you down. A whole season, nah, not going to do it. However, to your point, Dom, if you only need him for a few weeks to get Michael Penix back, then maybe that is, you know, the option that you go. It's got to be cheap. Like, it's honestly, whatever the Falcons do at quarterback, unfortunately, until you have a healthy Michael Penix Jr., I think has got to be cheap. If that ends up being Kirk, great. If it's someone else, yeah, just don't go give up major assets in order to Band-Aid a problem. Because Terry's got to live and die by what happens with Malik. What happens with Michael Penix Jr. And, you know, live with the consequences of, hey, if he gets you fired, that was your man's. And if you fail twice with Cousins and with Penix, then you got to live with it. All right. Let's continue the Falcons conversation, though, because we're going to bring in our 99 The Game Falcons reporter, Joe Patrick. He's coming up next on the Dopey Millennial Show, Sports Radio 99 The Game and the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Sports Radio 99, The Game, and the Odyssey app. It is the Dopey Millennial Show. Caleb Johnson here with you on this Saturday evening. Our next guest is a very busy man, especially coming up on Sunday, as he is a part of the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. So I thought bringing him in after his team did have a good rivalry weekend win, maybe he'd be in a good mood to join the show. Go to the WadeFord.com hotline and bring in Joe Patrick, our 9th on the Game Falcons reporter. What's going on, Joe?
I'm doing great, Caleb. I'm an Ohio State fan, I was just joking with Dom. You know, the holiday was great and everything, and I really do love my family. But, you know, what happened today was, I think, better than anything that happened over the holiday weekend. So it was a great capper, and ready for tomorrow, obviously, with the Falcons.
Well, I was just about to say, like, that's a perfect precursor to, you know, I know there are a lot of Falcons fans who had a great Thursday, and maybe some of them cared one way or another about Friday's game in Atlanta, and then you don't want to ruin things come Sunday as the Falcons go up and take on the New York Jets, who, Joe, not a very good football team. You know, it's kind of one of those no way around that this is the second straight week that the Falcons will play a pretty, pretty bad football team, a team vying for the top pick in the draft. How much of, I guess, last week, if you look at how they played against the Saints, is the Falcons with Kirk Cousins finding some offensive rhythm versus, hey, they were playing a really bad football team and kind of expect something similar, you know, this upcoming weekend?
Yeah, I mean, listen, the Saints are not a great football team, but that defense isn't half bad. I mean, like the reason why they're going to have one of the top picks in the draft this year is because they don't really have a quarterback and an offense that's consistent. But defensively, they're about average in the NFL. And so I thought for the Falcons, considering what they were without Drake London in that game, and we'd seen how that had gone previously in the season against the Miami Dolphins when Kirk Cousins had to step in also without Drake London. It was a huge improvement. And the coaches said that it was going to be a different looking offense or at least, you know, they were going to be better prepared, I guess they should say. They didn't kind of reveal how it was going to look or if it was going to be different necessarily, but knowing that Kirk Cousins was going to be the quarterback throughout the game planning and throughout the entirety of the week. And so that held true, you know, and I thought that the offense did look good. Caleb, I might argue that it was maybe like the most, like the best or kind of most efficient the offense has looked all season, mm-hmm. just in terms of it kind of being a normal offense with Kirk Cousins back under center, utilizing a lot of that play action from under center, which I think then afforded Kirk Cousins better pass protection than a lot of the pass protection has been so far this year. I just thought it all kind of clicked really well for this team, and it makes me, you know, optimistic for what this team can do down the stretch of the season. But, you know, this game tomorrow is going to be another test of just the professionalism. And I thought it was good to see kind of the professionalism on display in that Saints game and just seeing the team obviously well prepared, but also having the right intensity to be able to win that game when it was such a devastating loss the week prior. And then obviously having lost Michael Penix as well for the season. So that'll be the test, you know, for this Falcons team. And it has kind of been the test for them over the last few years is can they go from strength to strength? Can they you know, take a win, take it on board, process it, dispense it, and then go do it all again. I think that's been something that they have not been able to do enough. And we'll see. This is a perfect opportunity, frankly, for them to be able to kind of string some wins together here.
Joe, how much of a big deal do you make of this whole, because you mentioned there, like, playing under center, that's clearly become a talking point around Atlanta media when it comes to how things looked with Kirk Cousins versus how they previously looked with Michael Penix. And obviously Zach Robinson's done his part to talk about, you know, the benefits of playing out of the pistol, and there's so much debate as to what works and what doesn't. But ultimately, like, specific to playing under center, how much of a big factor was that to what the Falcons were able to do on Sunday, and just how much of it was everything else that was going well in the offense?
I mean, I think that, like, the players and coaches downplay it, and I don't know if that's kind of strategic, you know, like, messaging, but I frankly think that it's very important. And it's not just the aesthetic of, you know, of just like literally the way it looks or whatever, although I would say that it kind of everything seems to flow more normally. But I do think that when you're under center, I think that, you know, it's easier for the offensive linemen. There's different ways that the quarterback can kind of, you know, have his rollout fakes and his boot fakes that allow the offensive line to play more normally. Where, remember, the pistol offense was devised with Colin Kaepernick as the quarterback at Nevada. And in my opinion, one of the reasons, and I think necessities, that you need for a pistol offense to truly work, if you're going to use it like throughout the duration of a season, is to have that quarterback be a running threat. And that's what kind of holds the edges and keeps some of the defenders from just really being able to, like, shoot in and shoot gaps and really kind of beeline either toward the running back or the quarterback. And so I thought that the Saints were just, the defenders were a little bit more flat-footed in the way that they tried to attack the Falcons offense. And I mentioned it earlier, but, like, yeah, like, I thought it was representative in the pass protection as well, where when you start to run the ball like that under center, and then, you know, you get that great play action fake where you're taking 2-3 steps toward the running back, holding that ball out, and they have to respect that. It made it so that Kirk Cousins had some time, especially as the game grew on, to throw the ball from the pocket, which is obviously what he needs to be successful and what he always has been successful with throughout his career. So, and I frankly think that Kirk Cousins probably had some input into this change. And if we recall back to the first game of last season where they had this very, you know, it was that pistol offense where the team only took 2 snaps from under center in the opening game against the Steelers, didn't work well. They scored, I believe, 10 points in that game. And then on Monday Night Football the next week, they're immediately under center a lot more. And I think that just suits Kirk Cousins. And obviously, he's a lot healthier this year in order to be able to execute that kind of offense, where I think that maybe that was one of the reasons why they did that last year. So I thought it was a positive development for the team.
Talking with Joe Patrick on the WadeFord.com hotline. Joe, of course, host of Joe Patrick on Football. I want to make sure you go like, subscribe, all of those sorts of things to the podcast. Joe, I'll ask you one more offensive question, but just specific to injuries before we flip to the other side. Time frames for Drake London and Chris Lindstrom, what is it looking like for those guys?
Yeah, Chris Lindstrom's, again, questionable for this week, so we'll see if he's able to play. He has been obviously playing the last couple of weeks, even though I've seen him – not after the Saints game, but previously against after that loss to the Panthers. He was in a walking boot right immediately after the game in the locker room, but he was able to play the following week. So I would expect him to play. And then Drake London, you know, it's a little bit murkier. It's a PCL injury. PCL sprain is what he has. And, you know, Raheem Morris kind of alluded to the fact that even like the week during the, like in the week, practice week after he got hurt. So before they even played the Saints, he was like, you know, Drake London, like we have to kind of say that he's definitely going to miss this week because otherwise he would be pining to get out there and play. And he probably could play, honestly. And so he is going to miss this game. They're going to continue to be conservative with him and hold him out. And, you know, they obviously could use him, but obviously, you know, last week also gives you some confidence that you can maybe get by, especially with some different personnel groupings in order to make up for not having him out there.
You mentioned earlier talking about the Jets is like the simple fact of, I mean, outside of Breece Hall, that side of the football just feels like a mess. Like, I mean, the conversations that were once had about, you know, Drake London and Garrett Wilson and like them competing and Chris Olave competing amongst top wide receivers out of that class just feels like ages ago, quite honestly, point with, you know, them going with Tyrod Taylor at this point. But getting to Atlanta's side of the football defensively, though, how much has this pass rush been truly a shining point of that side of the football, or how much has it potentially covered up some deficiencies that this Falcons defense has had so far this year?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely been a revelation, and no longtime Falcons fans need that haven't explained to them at all just how good they've been and how much of a difference that's been for this organization versus the last many, many years. So it's been great to see, and I think, Caleb, that these guys, you know, both the rookies seem to be hits at this point, which is great for the Falcons. I mean, that sets you up like really, really nicely long term, and obviously that's going to be a talking point throughout this offseason, wherein the Falcons don't have their first round pick that they used to draft one of these guys in James Pierce Jr. But for me, honestly, I'm more impressed by Jalen Walker. Like Jalen Walker, you know, he had a lot of hype in that draft class, and you know, there was a lot of kind of touting of his athleticism, his football instincts. But I always get scared when guys are kind of labeled as tweeners, or there's like not, they have this kind of unique position. Like, you know, they're not like they're kind of a jack of all trades kind of play. Like, that just worries me because I like this specialist. I like kind of saying, this is your thing. This is his, it's proven. He knows how to do it. He's a very sure thing to be able to do that. And what we've seen from Jalen Walker so far this season is he is a jack of all trades guy at the NFL level. he's rushing the passer. He's stopping the run. They are starting to stand him up a little bit more now in some of those off-ball linebacker situations. And he's a really good blitzer from there. So he really has been impressive. And then you get more of that traditional, you know, kind of designated pass rusher, although he is getting more snaps than James Pierce Jr. And they've been really, really good. But that's on top, Caleb, of, you know, also the pressures and sack numbers that they're getting from the interior guys, like Brandon Dorlus, Zach Harrison, before he got hurt, was having a great year. Ruka Roro, we saw him getting involved in the sack totals last game. And it just makes for, you know, opposing offensive lines that can't really key in on that one high-level draft pick that you took. And so it's great to see that come together. And I think, Caleb, that we should go forward as Falcons fans kind of thinking of this as a defensive football team and kind of in the mode of what the Bears have done under Ben Johnson with Caleb Williams. You know, he's this high-round draft pick and, you know, so much you know, expected of him. And they've taken all the pressure off of him in that organization by kind of focusing their game and creating their identity elsewhere. And I think that that is kind of the model going forward for the Falcons team with these really highly touted pass rushers that they seem to have hit on in the draft.
Joe, I want to ask you one final question. You don't have to take a super long time explaining yourself. I just want to get kind of your thoughts on looking at this NFC South. You've got a Tampa Bay team playing Baker Mayfield, who's clearly hurt, and if he does play, he's not going to be 100%. They've lost three straight. Carolina, kind of keeping pat. They've lost their you know, most recent game. Atlanta at 4-7. Like, are you of any belief that there is still a shot for the Falcons to be able to win the NFC South?
Well, for the longer explanation on this, you can find Joe Patrick on football. Just, you know, search that wherever you get your podcast, or go to the 92.9 The Game YouTube channel and find it there, where I explained that the Falcons do have a chance. It's a 2% chance. So it's okay. Kind of like that Dumb and Dumber. It's kind of that Dumb and Dumber reference. Like, so you're telling me there's a chance. There is a chance, but the Falcons have to run the table 100%. And then you probably do need the Buccaneers and Panthers to lose some games that you wouldn't traditionally expect them to lose. So, yes, there's a chance, but I'm not kind of holding my breath on it. Let's consider it that.
Fair enough. And what the perfect setup to go listen and subscribe to Joe Patrick on football. That is our 92.9 The Game Falcons reporter. Follow him on social media. I have to change this in my notes, Joe. It is not.
Yeah, how about that?
It is not your old Twitter name. You are now Joe Patrick. Easy to find on social media. Yeah, absolutely. As well as the Wait For Tailgate with Andy Bunker, 9 to 11 tomorrow morning. Thank you, sir, for joining the show.
Always enjoy doing it, Caleb. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Coming up next, let's continue some NFL talk. What has happened so far this weekend, and how bad are the matchups on Sunday? It's kind of rough. We'll talk about it next. It's Caleb Johnson here with you, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.